Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Homeschool, episode 59, the podcast where me and Andrew Rivers and I
wow.
Do some monologues.
Can I just stop you right there? I'd like you to get that right the first time.
Redo. Do it's some right. monologue jokes with each other, bialogue, duologue, I don't know. And then a comedian guest riffs along with us, heckles us, tells us we're the worst, or just laughs, maybe. This week
that's never happened yet, but we're hoping
is the wonderful, the amazing, the phenomenal Brett Druck. Everybody give him a round of applause. Andrew doesn't have his applause machine with him. Brett, welcome. Before we get started, where are you going to be performing in the upcoming weeks or months that people should know about?
I'll be with Steve Hofstetter, wherever he is.
Forever.
Just for the fall.
Okay.
But you can go to...
what about The Rise? What's The Rise? The fall, you'll be with him? But, all right. All right.
During his epic descent.
Yeah. I'll be with him in Rome. And other stages. So stevehofstetter.com. I'm there. I'm with Steve through October 16th through Chicago.
Ooh.
I know where we end. I don't know where we're going in between. And then I'm with them again November 8th for 2 weeks.
It's a great routing. We're in Alabama right now. And somehow in 1 month, you'll be in Chicago.
Yeah. And I wish it was a route that made sense.
And that's we were just in St. Louis a couple of days ago. And okay.
All right.
So I'll be there. And then if you want other website, if you want other stuff, you go to brettdruck.com.
All right.
Probably maybe on my calendar.
Beautiful. Andrew.
Yeah. Sorry.
Same. You're gonna be with Steve.
It's weird to
bit.
Promote in the beginning of the podcast because I haven't proven to your audience that I'm funny yet. So
yes, yeah, well, people don't right listen now, towards so. The end of the podcast.
that's smart.
And Andrew, you're going to be the same with
I'm Steve's bitch
also.
For the end of the year, basically. But my album comes out October 12th on Sirius and Pandora exclusively. And then the 19th worldwide. Everything else. I haven't even updated my website. Adam texted me and was like, how can I book you? And I was like, I'm Steve's bitch for the year. So.
That's fun. Andrew, Adam texted me the same thing, similar thing. But that's because Jarrett, the other... Steve's bitch was creating a new website for me, so that's up and ready to go. And
Ooh,
you should see me in Gilbert,
maybe I get
Arizona.
Steve's bitch to update my website.
Yeah, it's really.
Do you do websites?
No, mine's terrible. You know what Steve calls his openers? All of us, he calls us the tough acts to follow. But I like tough bitches to follow.
Oh, I like that too. That's fun. Well, don't follow bitches. Time's up on following bitches, I've heard. So, let's get to the jokes. What do you say?
Sounds great to me.
All right. But first, a 3 second pause because I don't know how to edit things. Welcome to Homeschool, episode 59. I would like to start the show with an apology. I forgot to post about 9/11 and make it about myself. So promise it won't happen again. Next
Shame
time
on you.
Celebrity
Those were the good old
me.
Days.
Yeah, I think that's the slogan is never forget to post about it.
Yeah, I missed 9/12 when everyone in America was united against Muslims and Sikhs and ethnically ambiguous people. Those were the good old days.
Yeah,
man, even... people who were black were treated with respect until at least 9/13. So
good old days.
I think the slogan should for 9/10 should be, wasn't there something?
Something's coming around the corner. That's what Bush's intelligence briefing said, too. Well, speaking of that old fart, Bush, Obama, and Biden and Clintons, they spent the day at memorials and events remembering the lives lost in the terror attacks, while Trump hosted a wrestling match, which is only fitting because wrestling and 9/11 are both fake.
All right. Steel beams can't melt from jet fuel, and steel cages don't melt your face. That was the steroids.
Yeah, but those they can collapse and kill that one wrestler that tried to descend from the rafters.
Yeah.
I don't know the reference. So
Bret Hart or
Bret Hart,
Kevin Hart,
it, yeah,
or something.
Bret Hart melts steel beams.
You know what I did forget? 9/10 is actually my ex-wife's birthday. I didn't tell her happy birthday, so geez, what a terrible human.
Are you
I am.
Good terms?
Great terms. Great terms.
She's more than he should be.
Yeah, yeah. Don't tell
for
her
what she did to him.
Don't tell
her. Well, more like what she did to his best friend.
Wow. She did a lot to him.
Wow.
She rode him into the ground.
Oh man.
Anyway,
just have some powerful quads.
Well, we do want to open the show with a moment of silence while we remember the anniversary of the second worst tragedy on American soil on 9/11, right after the birth of Steve Hofstetter.
Oh man. Are we supposed to be silent?
I don't know.
How are we supposed to get a moment of silence with all these amazing jokes, dude?
I think of the way that you honor Steve's birthday is that you heckle him during the silence.
Oh, okay. That's good. Have a moment of silence. You suck. That was beautiful. I haven't heard a moment of silence like that since Corey Michaela's headlining weekend.
Hey.
Nah, we kid the ginger, but we love Steve. He's a funny comedian, a good guy, and he does a lot of charity work as well.
That's right.
Right, like he brings you guys on tour, but what other stuff? What other charity stuff does he do?
The Steel City Arts Foundation. You know, comedians live, work, and play there.
All right, our buddy Kevin won that scholarship. He was actually in our comedy class, so I take full credit for his career.
Mm. Oh yeah, I saw his set.
Oh, hey Corey, you should try to get your own career off the ground instead of helping others, you know.
Well, in almost 20 years of teaching, it's the first student of mine who's ever succeeded at anything, so you gotta take him where I can get him, huh? But how is the tour? Give me an update. What's going on?
Well, it's been good. We had shows in Vermont, which actually, congratulations, Vermont became the first state to have 3/4 of their population vaccinated, which mm-hmm. makes sense. Lots of old people. I think their nickname is the at-risk state.
Uh-huh. Sounds like there's a lot of sexy ladies I should meet with dentures. Now you're headed to the South where nobody is vaccinated or has teeth. Good thing you got that booster shot.
Absolutely. But the show in St. Louis, interesting. A guy kept talking like her and there and... I thought it was Nelly, but it was just a guy with vaccine side effects.
Oh, put a Band-Aid on that vaccine hole. You're not supposed to get it in your cheek, dude.
We met some fans after the show that were paranormal investigators. And they must have come to the comedy club because they heard about all the killing going on.
Yeah, hard to follow.
When I don't like a joke, right? That one, right?
Well,
not good.
It's going to get worse.
Well, they should investigate your show. Every time I watch, I hear boo.
Must and this podcast. Speaking of almost becoming a ghost, Corey, are you recovered from COVID? How are you?
I got it. It's fine. Pretty mild. My only regret is not playing it up a little bit more for attention. You know, I had the vaccine, so nobody even checked on me.
It's bullshit. I thought I got some attention. I would help you, but you told me not to tell anyone. So,
yeah, you know, I don't know. I have always wanted to go viral and be a breakthrough comedian. Breakthrough case is kind of a bullshit euphemism, right? Like, breakthrough's always been a good thing. Oh, wow. Look at you breaking through and getting a deadly virus.
That's good. You got the vaccine and the virus, so you'll have the best of both worlds there, right?
Yeah,
something
bionic.
Like that.
Some comedians go viral, but Rivers has gone bacterial.
call him when you're
no, I
hurts.
Gave you a virus. It's no pill's gonna get rid of that. Biden is in installing. I don't know what you call it. He's putting in a vaccine. Yeah, he's substituting laws. He's making a vaccine mandate for companies with 100 employees or more, which is a little scary. You know, I mean. Anytime you give the government power to force you to take something, even if you think it's for the greater good, you got to think about what the other side that you disagree with might do with that same power, you know?
So you're saying if next election he loses, there's going to be some horse paste mandates?
That's one way to get Enumclaw vaccinated. The guy fucked the horse there?
Yeah.
You know about
he knows. He's done Enumclaw. Right. He knows.
He's done that joke in Enumclaw, like all of us.
You can't do a show in Enumclaw without them telling you that.
Yeah, that's true. They want you to. It's weird. They don't think it's hack yet.
Yeah, you're just in the middle of your jokes. You're like, yeah, I've been dating recently. They're like, somebody fucked a horse here. Like,
are you dating a horse? Who's the lucky mayor or whatever?
Well, I don't know if I want them to force the vaccine. That'll be harder to identify all the idiots, you know?
I mean, but also I want less idiots.
Nah, we need idiots. Who else is going to work at McDonald's or buy tickets to my show?
Hey, by the way, I think we should stop horsing around about ivermectin.
Oh, okay.
It is for worms and stuff, but it's also for other things and has been used in medicines in the past. And it even won a Nobel Prize. So there's probably some legitimacy.
Nah, I think it's for the birds. Well, didn't Obama win a Nobel Peace Prize after he bombed a bunch of Iranian weddings?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. The truth came out and froze the podcast. But
yes, it did. I think Obama bombed a joke.
It is hard to know who to trust, but I figured out it's really easy. When the information agrees with my point of view, I believe it. But ivermectin can also be used for head lice. So if you ever run into that issue, Corey.
Not going to be an issue on my head, but one reason I don't need it.
Shave those pubes for you.
I guess so.
How does it do with crabs?
Seems to be working all right.
I like the idea that some guy is at a dance club and he's doing the worm. People are like, no, he didn't take ivermectin.
Is that funny? I write it down.
You guys should have said.
Yeah. You know what you should have said.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel Maddow tweeted out a fake story about ivermectin overdoses filling up hospitals. But in her defense, she has worms in her brain.
Oh, so. Rachel Madcow disease.
So clever.
It's people who left California and moved to Texas during the pandemic are like, abort, after Texas makes abortions illegal after 6 weeks.
Yes, but Uber and Lyft are paying for legal fees for drivers under the new Texas abortion law, which is great news, because if you're making your girlfriend take an Uber to get an abortion, she really needs that fucking abortion.
Yeah. Five stars for that Uber and one star for the abortion. Didn't have any candy, so.
It's a bummer. If she would have been a sucker beforehand, we wouldn't need that abortion in the first place. Listen, this is a tough subject to talk about as a man, but I'm pro-choice. You know, it's not something I would ever do, but I respect other people who have to make the difficult decision to keep a child.
Hey, that is a life you're talking about. Joke.
Just realized that was way too high.
You hack. That's a life you're talking about. A fun, child-free life with disposable income, and I want to keep it.
And well, I respect your choice. Good for you. LAPD officers are now told to collect social media data on every civilian they stop, basically a digital stop and frisk. Good thing Facebook took away that poke button.
Well, women have expressed some concern about male cops harassing them over direct message, but it'd be nice for cops to shoot their shot with someone other than a black guy.
Well, hello, officer. Getting quite handsy there. Is that because you're looking for a weapon or you just found my OnlyFans? Good thing I'm into handcuffs.
Right. Wow. The cops wrote down my Facebook profile. Now I have a friend request from the Proud Boys. Great.
Yeah, hashtag back the blue balls. But this is crazy. Latinos are still getting vaccine misinformation on Facebook because Facebook doesn't have enough fact checkers that speak Spanish, apparently.
Oh, wow. ¿Cómo se dice en español? My dick is huge.
Fact check that.
Un pequeño. Did you watch any of the U.S. Open this week? Two teens were in the U.S. Open women's final. That was incredible.
I didn't, but I did see two women in short skirts grunting on my web browser last night. Come on, baby.
I think that was the match.
Oh, ¿cómo se dice? I just came.
Teen girls grunt.
Teen girls grunting.
Well, hey, there's the jokes. There they are. Boy, oh boy.
Should have put something in there about 15 love, you pedophile.
Oh, yeah. Idiots. That's pretty good. That's good. God damn it. How do we miss that?
Shit. I like
pedophile. I had pedophilia enough.
I like 40.
Record the
40
part where
love.
You guys told me I should interject and criticize you, so now I just sound real mean.
Gosh, nobody has ever done this on the podcast before. Well, we're glad to have you, and thanks for criticizing us. It makes the jokes better. Andrew will take that line.
Jokes in there.
Thanks. That's just that's what we do every week. Try to write. We throw 500 premises on a sheet and start to attack it.
Why don't you do that for your act?
That's what I'm trying to do this week, man. You stay in the green room and hide out every show. You don't get to see my brilliance at work.
800-pound gorilla, is that guy coming?
Oh, he came to my show last night. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Never mind. Do you guys edit this?
No, Corey doesn't edit anything.
Okay, cool.
No, I don't know how. Yeah. So. Hey, Brad, maybe a little close to your mouth. It's kind of quiet there.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
There we go. A little closer to your mouth, buddy. I can't do it from here.
Oh. I'm like, are you coming? She's like, you're 4 feet from my vagina.
Just trying to be safe. Well, hey, where are you guys? Where are you guys?
And we're in Huntsville, Alabama last night. Okay. Or this tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
Last night was Nashville.
Live?
And yeah, stand up live. And
you've done this club before?
No, never.
I think I heard the good thing from it.
Seems good. Josh Wolf seemed to say it was great.
He was saying it was real good.
The one in Phoenix, or the one in Tempe, no, Phoenix, whatever. Phoenix, definitely Phoenix is very, very nice.
Okay.
And
that doesn't help us.
Same company. Well, I mean,
I know I'm teasing you. Bergazzi did a Tonight Show thing here, which was odd. Do you remember when that happened? It was like comedy was still illegal in like half the states. And then the Tonight Show was like, there's a guy dying, you know.
I remember. And then he did his special spreader outdoors. But yeah. I mean, hey, yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, Nashville was fun. The 800-pound gorilla has an office there, which is nice. So they sent me a text and they go, hey, we're going to come to your show. Come out for lunch. And they bought me lunch. And and then someone who works at the office, a cute lady, followed me on Instagram. And then I was scrolling too far back, accidentally liked a thing from 6 years ago, maybe. Oof. And
did you quickly unlike it or did you leave it?
I mean, the notification's gonna be there, so I just left it.
I think it goes away if you unlike it.
Well, that's too late now. I just followed and liked a bunch of other stuff, and I was like, hopefully she doesn't check too closely. But luckily, it wasn't like a bikini, you know, something.
It was just her and her kid. You're like,
yeah.
New daddy.
We did merch outside last night, and we thought it was going to be a nightmare because it's pretty hot.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good merch line. Yeah, they thought people wouldn't want to wait around outside.
Did you choose because more space for the line, or did you choose it because of
the
COVID?
They had a late show coming in, and they were
but
I don't know if you've done Zanies before, but there isn't actually a lot of room to do merch in there anyway, so it did work out pretty well.
Nice. Not Nashville. I haven't been to Nashville ever, but I did Zanies Chicago, which is tiny.
Right.
But that's cool. Right on. So how's the tour bus? Is that going well? Is that
we've installed solar panels that don't work, and so now the fridge that doesn't work has a bunch of spoiled Muscle Milk that no one drinks because we don't have enough time to work out because we stop for gas every 40 minutes. And we show up to the hotel an hour before showtime, and we have to go set up 2 hours before every show. And but I've been slowly working him. And basically, every time I see a nicer bus, I go, "Oh, look at that!" And well, we were in probably St. Louis or something, or Memphis, I think. There was like a really nice Mercedes Sprinter van that pulled up next to us, and John, our tour manager, took some photos and sent it to just our group chat. And I was like, fuck that, send it to Steve. And then the very next day, he was like, so I've been looking at some buses, you know, and so, because he sees like a really fancy thing and he goes, I want that also, you know.
Yeah.
It's also like, you know, money's a thing.
Sure.
And
I'm doing the small game. I'm like, hey, can we have handles? So that we're not flying around the bus, or like you slip off the seat because it's a side seat a lot. So, and he's like, no, that could take out the wood paneling. And then I'm like, how much does the wood paneling cost? I'll pay it if it comes out. So yeah, so I'm just playing more of the small game, but Andrew's got the bigger, he's got the better goal there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brave approach, I think. I mean, I know Steve well enough to know he's not going to hate you guys, but that was a decent chunk of change and effort and time put into that current thing. So.
I mean, I was not encouraging when he came up with the idea, so I feel enough. Okay being like, no.
I mean, it's kind of my fault, I feel like. I mean, we weren't really consulted, you know, but like the whole previous tour, I was like, you gotta get out of this SUV, this is too small, it's fucking bullshit. The main discussion we've had that I think really convinced him is like, I was like, you know, his idea is sort of like, oh, if we can put 2 months worth of merch in the van, in the bus, then we won't need to mail it to ourselves. And I'm like, let UPS mail it. They're way better. You know, like, hauling?
Yeah.
It's way more expensive to haul all of this stuff around than to just mail it every 2 weeks or whatever.
Right.
And so I think that finally got him to be like, oh, yeah, there's a reason that we were doing it that way in the beginning. You know,
right, I mean, the biggest concern, honestly, like comfort is very important.
Yes.
But the biggest concern is that if we get into a tiny accident,
yes,
one person will be maimed at least.
Yeah.
It's just like not.
Safe. Yeah. Like even when I was driving, one of the first nights we were on the bus and some guy just started drifting into my lane, I had to slam on the brakes. And then as soon as I stopped driving, everyone clapped and they were fucking thank God.
I didn't know Andrew was driving on this tour. Oh, jeez.
We got to rotate every once in a while.
I've always been surprised that like actual school buses with elementary school kids, just there's just no seatbelts. You're just like, good luck. But I guess there must be.
At least those are forward facing seats with padded seats in front of them. We have a forward facing.
And the bullies were always holding me down anyway and punching me. So I was pretty safe.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't even have a handle to hold on to, let alone like a soft padded thing. The closest thing that I will run into if we stop short is the windshield.
Yeah.
Or
a
thin wood dinette.
Even the first day, Brett was like, I'm having dreams of my neck snapping off. Like,
there's one dinette. Like, there's a dinette with two seats facing each other. One of them is backwards, and there's no headrest there. So I'm like, if we stop short, my neck is coming, my spine is coming out my neck. I'm just going to go. And then hopefully there's an announcer to say fatality.
Oh, man.
Finish him. But everything's great. And
the tours and like the shows are awesome. They're packed. The crowds are great. It feels like almost like the crowds are soft a lot of the times where I'm like, this crowd's so good. I don't even know if my new joke is if I'm getting a good
like he'll tell me a joke in the lobby, I'll be like, that sucks, don't ever do that, and he'll be like, it killed last night, I'll be like, that audience was wrong, I don't know what to tell you.
What's your favorite show or city so far? I mean, St. Louis is fun. That's the
St.
Tony
Louis was my
there.
Favorite show so far. I had a fun new joke, like a brand new joke, hit well, really really well there, and then that's, you know, that there's no better feeling than that. And then I had a fun little heckle comeback and experience. Mm. And so that's always good, especially because it's like a line I can use again that I came up with.
Oh, nice.
It was somebody who stopped me. Then when I went, I asked them about it. Then they told me to keep going and like do another joke. And I was like, it's like if a cop pulled you over. And then he was like, keep driving.
I thought that was Steve's joke.
Steve's joke. Exactly. I don't know what that means, but all right.
Inside joke. Steve takes credit for everything, but Nashville was fun. It wasn't necessarily my favorite, but I worked in the most new. There was probably like 8 minutes of new stuff for me in Nashville.
I feel like you have a girl from Instagram in every city, haven't you? Have you? What's going on there?
They stay on Instagram.
Yeah. All right. They talking about unfollowing. I had like 3 Raya matches for Nashville. So I threw this big fit. I was like, listen, just let me have the solo hotel room for one night because I got 3 leads in one city. This never happens.
Okay.
And I was texting this girl. I was DMing this girl. And I was like, I'm getting to town tomorrow. Let's grab a drink. She's like, fucking sounds great. Awesome. We have the day off. I was like, I'm going to make this happen. And then she gave me her phone number. And then I text her. And then she just never responded to the first text message. And but then she still watched my Instagram story. And I could have like messaged her on Instagram, I guess, and been like, hey, what the fuck? Did you give me the wrong number or whatever? But I just, maybe I was too proud and I was like, well, fuck you.
I mean, and you could have made that a joke. Yeah. You know, I think you gave me the wrong number and whatever. Yeah. But
so that just, but and then one other girl was in Nashville that I met last time I was in town. And then I hit her up and she was like, bah, I would love to come, but I'm busy the night of your show. So next time or whatever. And then the other girl just kind of like the conversation fizzled out. So nothing happened there. Gotcha. So, right. Yeah.
There it is.
That's a story of my life there. But but Tony, I actually matched with a girl on the day I started a Bumble thing again, getting desperate. And I matched with this girl who's like, oh, yeah, I live part time in Nashville, part time in Seattle. So I was like, oh, well, that works. And she's like, I won't be in Seattle for another month. And I was like, well, just in time for me to leave again. But that sounds great. She's like, I'm a paralegal, so I just travel wherever I want. And I'm like, all right. She's like, maybe I'll come back sooner. And I'm like, okay, we'll see.
You need a paraplegic that doesn't go anywhere.
She can't fucking leave me.
Bumble's always the worst on the road because it's like by the time you match, you're already leaving.
Yeah.
Because they gotta match, then send message you. Message. Yeah.
If they have the Instagram, if they have the Instagram, I just go directly to the Instagram if we match, you know.
Yeah, so Bumble, they wait 24 hours and message you.
They want to make sure you extend it sometimes first to show that you really care because you only get one extend. I think so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe I've heard that on Twitter or something, but
which a feature I never use because I'm like, I'm already gone.
Yeah,
so I'm not gonna extend this.
I just want more Instagram followers. That's really.
I'm a feature nobody ever uses.
She messaged me afterwards. She was like, she's like, yeah, let's. I was like, do you want to come to a show tonight? And then a day later, she was like, yeah, I'd love to. I was like, but no, it was a week later. She's like, yeah, I'd love to. I was like, well, that was last Sunday. I'm in New Jersey now. And she's like, how'd that happen? I was like, airplane.
I love it. Well, that's fun. But now you got a lady on every city, Brett. Yeah.
Yes,
that's
me and Brett are together. And
I like the way you said it, Corey, because it sounds like I have a different lady, city, but it's the same lady. But also,
that's
cool.
Well, she does have multiple personalities.
Yeah.
So
I like that about her.
Sorry, Brett. Yeah, quiet. You're quiet again. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I'm. Well, I don't want to talk about it. So. No, I'm dating. Dating Lee Corbin. She's a comedy artist. She draws. She draws comedy on digital shows and now live shows. She's on tour with us. So pretty fucking awesome. Cool to you know have your significant other on tour with you.
Nice.
And, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, and you agreed to all this before you knew that was a thing too. So that's pretty good. Worked
the
out.
Tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if she wasn't on it, I definitely wouldn't. I would have.
You would have quit.
So I saw that bus.
funny. What? So sorry. Tony is in St. Louis now. He's our best.
Yes.
One of the best GMs. But he told me how to pull a gun on guys. Did he tell you the pull a gun on guys story? No.
No.
In the parking lot of the comedy club or parking lot near the comedy club.
Well, yeah, it's kind of in a mall. So it's like downstairs in a mall. Yeah.
That's tonight?
No, that's St. Louis Helium.
Oh, St. Louis.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He used to be a manager at Tacoma Comedy Club.
Gotcha.
So we knew him from back then.
And he went to Colorado Springs to some comedy club. And then Mark Horseman snagged him. And now he's at St. Louis and running.
Apparently, Mark was saying like he's the only one that can like keep that staff under control or something like that, which is a little undertone of like racism because it's like just an all black staff that's like they play loud music and they're crazy cool people and He's like, no one else will fucking control these people.
They're out
like,
of control. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, you know, who knows?
Tony's good with people of color. He's that sounds bad. He's got good relationships with a lot of comics who are happen to be black and hangs out with them. And so I think there's something to be said for trying to have a manager. I mean, maybe if you had a manager who was a person of color, that might help, but
let's not get crazy over here promoting minorities. Let's get out of here.
Tony's the next best thing, I guess. Yeah. Maybe what he's saying. Yeah, well, Tony's great.
To see Absolutely. Him, and he was, I mean, everywhere you go, they're like, you know, they're like, we set up like 12 interviews a week and like two people show up because all they have to do is call and say they got the interview and they can keep getting their unemployment. So.
Wow.
There's, you know, little shortages everywhere, I guess, but
yeah, I definitely have noticed that. Just, I mean, anywhere that's touched by the service industry, which is going to be every comedy club, but there's just like a weird thing where we walk in and the staff, like there's one person who came back after the COVID, you know, expulsion of servers,
right?
And then everybody else is kind of like has no idea what the fuck is going on. And you're like, oh, I guess I'll show you how to run the sound.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I'm training some of the employees.
That's very true.
It's very weird.
Especially because Lady has to set up her iPad to the screen or whatever at the comedy club. And sometimes we'll get a guy where she's like, are you the sound guy? And he's like, I don't know anything, man.
I don't know. Am I a sound guy?
Mark's here, but he doesn't do anything. I don't know. And then like, wasn't it the other club that is like, oh yeah, the other guy doesn't know anything.
Oh, they were like, oh, you get. They were like, I forget what his name. It was like Max.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, Max is the sound guy. And we're like, okay, should we wait?
Oh, for great.
Him? No, he doesn't know what's going on.
Oh, he's not here tonight. Oh, yeah, well, great. Well, that's cool. That's interesting. I did a one night thing in Portland that was whatever. It's just Helium's amazing. In Portland,
great club.
Have you done any Heliums on this?
Yeah, I did a couple. Yeah. Indy and St. Louis. I see Brad up this poster everywhere.
Oh yeah, right.
I'm trying to explain to Leedy because this is her first time going to a comedy club. So I'm like, this is the nicest chain, of comedy clubs. But still, because it's touched by the pandemic, it's like nobody has any idea what's going on.
Oh, funny.
So you could, like, physically, it's a nice comedy club. But right. In terms of, like, them having their shit together and, like, we know how to run comedy shows, like, you know, well-oiled machine. It's just not there yet because everybody's recovering.
Interesting. Well, we didn't have enough people at my show in Portland for it to not be run well. It was just pretty simple. 15 people can seat themselves.
Good old Corey giving every employee a night off. That's what...
They're like, this guy's great. We can just watch the show. Anyway, that's cool.
Well, we
and
then, confirmed our Portland run here, if you want to
mention
that.
If you're listening from Oregon, we'll be in Portland, Eugene, and Bend in December, the first weekend of December. So that's exciting. I'll have to stop. Yeah, I guess. Well, I won't promote this upcoming Portland, and I'll just try and steal all of Brad Upton's fans in a couple weeks for our show in December, maybe. We were talking about it before we recorded, but yeah, Brad's spending $1,000 per city in, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, who cares, in like 8 cities, and just this is his first crack at like
trying teaching to him it. How to run these ads, maybe.
Yeah, and so I feel a lot of pressure to like, I hope it's going well, I'm analyzing all the things, sending him emails, and he's like, ah, oh, whatever, I don't care, it's cool, and I'm like, all right, just... good if you lose money, right?
my idea. Like, this is this great strategy on how to, you know, draw and build a crowd and stuff like that. But then also there's a Delta variant.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Kind of.
That's what he's saying. He's like, I have 800 event responses in Indianapolis and this many whatever. And he's like, 35 tickets sold. And I'm like, it's got to be people waiting to the last minute. I don't know.
Facebook needs like a fourth option. Like there's yes, no, and interested. And it depends.
Yeah.
Depends on what happens with COVID.
My grandma has COVID.
Delta so dependent.
To see how that shakes out.
Yeah. I mean,
judge it by the amount of scammers in the events going like, I have 2 tickets for sale.
You're like, good. It's going well.
Yeah.
I have, well, yeah, so I got it. I got COVID probably in Idaho, I would guess.
2 weeks?
My 10 days ended 4 days ago. So 5 days ago.
2 weeks?
Yeah, so yeah, 2 weeks.
14, 15 days?
Literally 2 weeks from today, yeah, is when I felt the first symptom. Very mild, and then got tested the next morning because I was going to go away for the weekend with my parents and my brother, who's a firefighter. So he can't be getting it, and nobody should want to get it, I guess. But and then,
yeah, there's nothing worse than getting saved from a burning building, and you get the guy gives you COVID. I don't even know whether to be.
I can't breathe. No, it's the smoke. Don't worry about it. CPR? No,
come near my mouth.
Fever too. Oh, it's from the fire.
It's so warm. Yeah. Use the back of your hand like a doorknob. That's all I remember from third grade.
Pretty funny. So I took a test. I was very mild, but I was like, I better take a test. We're literally going to be in a small little cabin for 4 nights. And yep, positive. And canceled that. Canceled one gig. That was lucky. It was only one show I had to cancel.
Corey's luckily he has a light calendar, so he didn't have to bail on too many
Ten
gigs.
10 days, one show.
That's pretty good.
And then I lost my taste and smell. That was weird.
Is it back now?
Came back pretty quick. That was great. I thought it was going to be gone. I heard all these stories of like, I lost it for months and months, but.
You got short COVID. That's the.
Yeah, so that's back. What's that?
So you can finally taste cum again.
Yeah. My own tastes great. But some people's.
I said you got short COVID. That's the better one to get. Good choice.
Yeah. I was trying to figure. I think it worked out perfect. I mean, you get the vaccine fully, then get it. Mild symptoms. I'm good to go unless there's some more variants, which seems like there might be.
Yeah, I was talking to my my neighbor. She's a nurse, and she works in the COVID wing. And she was saying that people with autoimmune disease who refuse to get vaccinated are the, not that they can't, like the ones that can and refuse to, they're like the cause of variants for the most part, because it's just like a field day for COVID. Like they'll take a sample of somebody's shoulder who's immunocompromised and has COVID, and then they'll take a sample from their hip, and it's completely different variants, because it's just like they can just populate everywhere.
It grows within them.
Yeah, they're like evolving inside them. They're just like, yeah, they're just
more than meets the eye. It's just mutating.
Yeah, they're just
they're trans. Nobody listens. Well, I'll say somebody I know has a family member who's got lung cancer, and somebody in the family refuses to get the vaccine. Whew. And still wants to hang out with the, and it's like, no, you don't get to. Anyway.
Yeah.
So,
my dad got three shots before he let me come over.
Right.
And even now,
he didn't do that before the pandemic.
Yeah. It's not, he hates me, but
you're feral.
won't stop shitting on my act, but he, and then he had like a scare, and he had like a 102 temperature, and my parents didn't even tell me until like, you know, yesterday or whatever. And then my brother called me and was like, I asked what happened. And they said he came to your show in Albany. And then a couple days later, and I'm like, oh, don't fucking put this on me.
I know.
Like, I'm going to stay up all night going, I killed my dad by making him come watch me do shitty comedy. It was the jokes that killed him, but his test came back negative, so that seems promising. Hack scene.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
If I had a hack scene, it would have prevented me from making that joke.
You still would have made it. We just wouldn't have gotten violently ill
Mild
from it.
Symptoms, yeah.
Too soon.
Well, where? Speaking of too soon, where were you guys on 9/11?
What was like sophomore year or something like that, maybe?
Oh, the original 9/11.
Yeah. Well, Louisville, which that they gave me a moment of silence during that show.
Yeah, that was our worst show, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, that venue was like, this is what it used to be when we were doing bars and stuff. You'd walk in and the staff was just like, not even not happy to see you. They were unhappy that you were there.
Wow. Hey, we're going to make you guys a bunch of money. Yeah, whatever, you know.
And then usually after the show, once they saw it was good and it was full, then they were like really, really nice. But setting up for the show was just such a battle of like.
Brett was like moving chairs around and the guy was like, what are you doing moving the chairs like, so we can fit more people?
Yeah, they said that the capacity was like 150 and it was like 400 and they just had a completely empty half of a room. So I'm taking stools from the bar being like, because they were telling people it was sold out. And I was like, we're going to try and sell extra tickets at the door and. Right. People will have seats instead. We don't want standing room, and they don't understand any of that because they're a rock venue. But the guy's like, "Well, why can't they just sit at the bar?" And I'm like, "Ah, this reminds me of what I have to like when you have to explain how comedy works, and then they still don't even believe you." And then he gave a bunch of gruff, and then he was an asshole during the show to the point where Steve does this thing where he always he has this really really good tipping speech where he's like, you know, $1. Won't make a difference to all of you, but the staff is here working tonight and they're the reason you're able to have a good time. So if you take $1, everybody just takes $1 out of their wallet
or their money clip or their dick bag.
Yeah.
Or your Venmo if you're a senator. So
it won't make a difference to you. It won't make a big difference to your night, but it'll make a huge difference to the staffs. And it always gets like a huge amount of extra tips for the staff.
Staff is always like, thank you so much. Yeah.
And Steve, like this bartender was so loud so many times and he'd been talked to that Steve was like, no, I'm not doing it.
Not doing it. Yeah.
And in the middle of the show, Brett was like, don't worry, we're going to do this tip thing at the end.
Yeah. Well, when I was moving schools and he was freaking out, I was like, don't worry, man, you're going to get taken care of.
The sound guy kept moving the levels up and down, like in the middle of my set, was pissing me off. And
they lit only the merch table, so it was dark on stage. Like we have merch on stage, that was the only thing that was lit.
It was
bad.
Gig in Rhode Island was fun because the lights went out in the middle of Brett's set, and it was really stupid because the tour manager John did a funny thing with a light. Maybe I didn't. None of us saw that. We were backstage, and then I came out and tried to steal a laugh and put a light in his face, and he was like, "Fucking great!" And then Steve came out and was like, everybody shine your phones on Brett, and so like took 5 minutes away from his whole set and the lights came on with 30 seconds left or whatever.
It was a 15-minute set and 8 minutes of it was me riffing on the fact that I didn't have sound or lights.
And then
with intervals of interruptions by everybody fixing it, Steve Rivers and the tour manager John all trying to fix it with lights, and it's just distracting from me riffing, so I keep having to like notice that the crowd is reacting to somebody walking behind me and then being like, okay, now you do your thing during
you do your bit.
So he was like throwing a fit and we're kind of making fun of him, and then I felt bad, but then I was
on video though. Anything worth video? No.
Well, you can't, I don't know. See, I'm you sure.
Oh. Yeah, there'll be video of it, but I feel like just out of principle I'm not letting Steve upload it to his YouTube channel, because afterwards he was like, why are you so mad? He was like everybody was like, you did such a good job handling it, you were so funny. And I was like, I know I did a good job handling it, I didn't want to do that. That's from the set. And he was like, I just don't understand. I'm like, I literally just explained it to you. Everything I do on this is for that 15 minutes, so I have half of it not what I'm planning to do. That's annoying. And he was like, I don't get it. And I was like, fuck you, dude. But we squashed. It was all good.
But then Louisville, after my sound thing, I was like in a bad mood. Brett's like, oh, how does it feel? I was like, he's ruined my whole set. I was trying new material.
Bombed
my face off. And then I teased him because I was like, well, I'm not going to throw a fit about it, you know. But
I didn't really throw a fit.
I know. No.
Only when I was pressed.
Yes.
Oh, well, sounds great. at least you're comfortable.
That was incredible.
It's good time.
Yeah. Sold a lot of guilt merch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people there you
just,
go.
Just people like, oh, yeah, how did you deal with that?
And that wasn't even because of the lights. They just felt bad for his material bombing.
Well, this all sounds way worse than 9/11, which is what I asked about.
Well, I'm quitting tour soon, and you can join in, and then you can take over.
Is that what you meant? Or did you mean to the 2001
original? I was curious. Oh, okay.
I was in high school. I was a sophomore as well, and I remember one of my friends, Nikki, she's like, Brett, a plane flew into the World Trade Center And I just in my own world, for the most part, in, throughout my life, but especially in high school. And I didn't even know like that was a big deal. And I was like, oh, cool. It wasn't until they like
showed a photo of it.
Homeroom, yeah. And they were like, you're not going to your next class. I was like, this seems bad. And then they started putting the TVs on and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But they saw well, people coming out of the building. I was like, this seems serious.
Well, my mom, yeah. So it was like our time. It was before school where were you started. For?
he was in Tower One actually with his dad.
Me and Steve Renacisi were in
there you go.
So I was a teacher. I was teaching sophomores in high school actually. Wow. But I was 21 or 22, I guess. Let's see, 21. Man, I was teaching at 21. Well, I was like one of those student teaching experiences kind of thing, but not full student teaching. It's the one before the full. Anyway, but my mom told me in the morning, similar thing where she was like, oh, but she just said a plane flew into a building in New York. And I'm like, oh, I mean, that happens, I guess. Like I was singing a little prop plane.
Yeah, it happens, you know. Well, did it fly into the airport or like, what are you talking about?
I envisioned a prop plane with like, right. its wing hitting the side of a building right. or something. And I
think
like,
we all kind of did at the beginning, you know?
Yeah. Like, and then we got there and it was like, oh shit. And so like the next couple of days teaching a history class, it was kind of hard to be like, don't hate Muslim people. Like, yeah. No, it's because they would show video on the news of like kids in the Middle East cheering. And right. I'm like, pump the brakes. That they probably bought like Philadelphia 76er championship t-shirts and handed them out. And then we're like, hey, you're on camera in a developing country. Those kids are going to go, oh, yeah, cheer, dance. Yeah. I don't know if these kids are dancing because of a terror attack, you know. But I was also like, but they might be. I don't think so, but you know, they might be. And yeah, weird. So I just was in a bar and it was like, I just had never thought about this. 2000 is the year. I mean, obviously you're 21 if you were born in 2000. And it's just like next year, it's going to be people who weren't born.
Oh, checking IDs.
On 9/11.
You have the opposite issue. You're like, you got to be born before 1985 for me to talk to you.
For me to even check. And I won't even check your ID.
The ongoing joke and truth is that Corey loves an old broad.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know.
Yeah, 21, I don't feel like you should be teaching anything. Like, the only thing you should be teaching is, like, don't just take a straight-on dick pic. You got to, like, you know, do a silhouette through the boxers or something. That's, like, all you really know to teach kids.
Well, he didn't learn that until much later.
I didn't know that.
Still trying to get him to figure out that.
Is that a thing? Oh, shit. Well, whatever. Yeah, anyway, 9/11, whatever. Never forget.
I mean, think about it. Like, if a girl just sends you straight up, and then the girl wouldn't. They wouldn't just straight send you straight up badge. They would do like a little underwear. They do like a sexy pose or something. But if you just see straight up genitals, it just looks like a biology slideshow. You got to do something artful,
I guess,
for it. Keep a little mystery. Don't show the head. I guess I got to teach a class. Maybe one of my students can get into the Martin House.
Different qualifications.
Dick pic scholarship.
Well, send me one and show me where it's. that's a part of the class.
Like, well, I don't know if it'll fit in one right here. One shot. He keeps putting Magnum condoms in my backpack every second I look away. So,
Yeah, you using condoms?
Not anymore. Apparently,
none of my business.
I am, yeah, but I have too many. So I thought it was just fun.
Yeah.
And I'm 12 years old, so that's funny to me.
Well,
he bought the wrong size, so he had to re-gift them.
Right. I get it.
Whew, well, we got to run here in a few minutes.
On that tour.
Huh?
I don't know everything. I don't know John very well, but I feel like the whole crew of you could maybe exchange condoms on that.
Hey, John, come say hi real quick.
Sure.
Come talk to Corey.
Hey, Corey.
John, oh my God, great to see you. I've heard so much about you.
Yep.
happy.
Mm-hmm. Have they said anything about me ever?
Yeah. They can't stop talking about you. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're like, you know who we wish you were, John?
Corey's a really good tour manager.
He's great. Yeah.
Not good at comedy, but...
but he knows a free breakfast.
I don't know what Andrew said, but I'm sure it sucked. All right. Well,
yeah.
Great meeting you. Thanks for saying hi. Sorry for having to hear the bad jokes twice. That's not great.
Oh, it's all right. I was saying I didn't know you guys were rehearsing at first, so that's why I was very quietly laughing. But some of them got me.
Well, but you're on tour with these guys, so you hear a lot of jokes multiple times that aren't good. So
yep. That's why they pay me.
John is like he's funny. He did Just for Laughs, New Faces, as doing character stuff. So like sometimes we'll make jokes and he'll not laugh at the joke we made and then laugh to himself about the joke that he's making in his head. And so we get to ask him like, what is funny about you? And he'll be like, yeah, just imagine like
what you should have said.
Yeah. Like imagine a celery, a stalk of celery and it's giving out candy. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm funny in a non time-based universe. I'm like hilarious. Yeah. That's all.
Tragedy plus not time equals hilarious.
Yeah. Linear time really fucks with me. All right, I have to go, but nice
pleasure.
To meet
you. Yeah. I think these guys have to go pretty soon here too, huh?
Yeah.
We gotta get out of here.
4:30. Right. Well, shit.
Yeah. He's like, I was hinting. Yeah.
Tonight, we're Huntsville.
That's what we're going right now.
Well, yeah, we're going in like 2 minutes here. So.
Oh shit! I was gonna shower. Whoops.
Well.
All right.
Let's let you go. Hey, Brett. Where do we find you?
On the internet. At Brett Druck on Twitter and Instagram, Brett Druck Comedy on Facebook, brettdruck.com for a lot of really old information that will help you. But I still pay $170 a year for it. All right. You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Andrew Rivers, Andrew J. Rivers on all the things. I'm Corey Michaelis Comedy on all the things. Go shower up and have a good show. Goodbye.
Love you.